Turning your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter, which I've said before, Philippians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. But I want us to think about as we're starting, getting started in a new year. It's already 11 days into that new year, but we're getting started, and you know, Christmas will be here before we know it, another year past. But I want us to think about something. Some choices that we can make this year that can change and bless our life if we follow these choices and live by them. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And I've said before, I have a lot of verses highlighted in Philippians because, like I said, it's one of my favorite books. And so I've got a lot of pink in here. It's where I've highlighted it over the past. But in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Philippians, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. You know, that's a verse that really all of us ought to practice and live by, that we're praying for one another and lifting each other up to the Lord. Verse 5 says, for our fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, and being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, that you all or partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. I'll come back in a moment and pick up some more verses there in that first chapter. But if we could take a trip into the future and see and look back to today, if we could look to, say, the end of December of this year, after Christmas, Christmas being over with, we're getting ready for the new year. We've just done that, but let's go in the future now, a year. What's going to be different? What's going to be different that happened in 2026 as compared to what's going on right now at the beginning of 2026? What's going to be different in your family? Now, some people may have, you know, a child or a grandchild to be born this year. I've got a friend that one of her daughters is expecting, been expecting here for several days, but they're going to induce labor tomorrow. So there's going to be a child coming tomorrow, a grandchild. So that's going to be different for that family. For what's going to be different in your job? Are you going to have the same job, or are you going to lose your job? Like Brenda was talking about her parapro's husband and having to sell his business. What's going to be different about your job? Well, I don't know the answer to that, but what's going to be different? What's going to be different in your spiritual life? Are you going to be stronger as a Christian a year from now, or are you going to be weaker as a Christian a year from now? What choices will make it all start now? What choices will be there this year for us to take? Well, the thing I want you to do and to think about today as we focus on this passage of Scripture is our daily choices determine or define our choices down the road. Our daily choices today determines our choices down the road. And in this passage, Paul gives us three items or three issues that we can address that will help us as we make decisions down the road. The first one is to be thankful. To be thankful. Now, in verses 3 and 4, or 3 through 6, When Paul said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I love that last verse there that I just read. I've got that one highlighted. That's a beautiful verse. But if we read the Bible through, there's a theme throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, of a theme of gratitude, of being thankful. And we should always be thankful, not just in November, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but we should be thankful throughout the year, at all times, being thankful. What are you thankful for? I've asked this question before. What are you thankful for? Well, you could say, well, I'm thankful. I did not see a single person come in here in a wheelchair. Did anybody see a baby? Or come in on a stretcher? Did anybody come in on a wheelchair or a stretcher? No. Is that not something to be thankful for? That we can walk, that we can talk, and we can carry on things? What about other things? You know, did anybody have to ride a horse or a mule today? No. We can be thankful for that. Did anyone have to live in a tent or live out under a bridge? No. We can be thankful for our house. We can be thankful for our families. We can be thankful for so many things. I think I've said before, but I'll say it again, like our son, John Mark, artificial leg. He was born with two legs, but one of them was deformed. And eventually we had to have it amputated. And we would go to Shriners Hospital for, we went actually 21 years. Most time they only go 18, but because of where we lived at the time, he could go to 21. And, you know, I'd have people tell me at times, how can you live with the fact that you've got a son that's got a leg missing? Well, you go to Shriners Hospital and you see those boys and girls with no arms, no legs, and other deformed parts of their body, and you can go, yeah, I can be thankful for just a leg missing. But you see, sometimes we take for granted what we need to be thankful for. It should be a part of our life, a posture in our life, that we have a spirit of thanksgiving about us throughout the year. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Now, we can look around us and we can see things that, yes, we can be thankful because we're not maybe in that situation, or maybe it could be worse. You know, we can be thankful in every situation, in every circumstance. God's people need to be thankful people. God's providence. And, you know, he says there, if he leads you through it, leads you to it, he'll lead you through it. Read it again in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that's saying? That needs to remind us that whatever we're doing, whatever situation we may be in, God's going to lead us through it. Now, sometimes it's hard to see that right at the moment. Maybe we're experiencing cancer, or maybe we're experiencing other health problems, or maybe we're experiencing marriage problems, or maybe we're experiencing job problems. But in every situation, we need to be confident that God's going to lead us through it. And really, in one sense of the word, we need to, like, be constantly alert to our mindset, and even change our mindset, that we're not stuck in a rut. We can get out of the rut and we can become better because God's going to lead us through it. You know, it's easy to get woe is me, and we get to lose our confidence and we begin to lose our thanksgiving, our thankful hearts. But he's going to lead us through it. He's going to take us to where we need to finish. Then the second thing that I see that Paul's talking about is choose daily to forgive. Now, that's hard to do. It's easy to say, well, yeah, I can forgive, but it's harder to do to really say I forgive someone who's hurt me. Paul has been used the term about affection for Christ for them. That means we still got to forgive. We got to love in as a Christian would or should. It don't mean we necessarily love their lifestyle, but we still love them for who they are. Now, it's hard to forgive sometimes. Let me read a few more verses in this chapter, verse 14 to 18. My eyes are not focusing real good today. Most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, and are more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Say, yes, I will rejoice. Now, as we think about that and bringing about forgiveness, you know, sometimes we may hear one sermon one way and another sermon another way. We touched on this a little bit in Sunday school this morning, but sometimes some of those can be negative, but we can still forgive. This week at Walmart, there was this black man walked up to me when I got in my car and cranked up, got to talked for about an hour. And it turns out he's a preacher and he ministers to students at Georgia Southern. And he got to talking about things that Wendell and Zelfia, they ran into him last night at the same Walmart. And while I disagreed at times with this guy on things, it's not like, okay, well, you know, I can't listen to you. You know, I disagree with you on this aspect. But, you know, we can still love and forgive. And, of course, I didn't need to forgive him of anything. But anyway, Paul's emphasizing that we should have affection toward others. Has someone ever wronged you and hurt you in a way? Not necessarily maybe physically hurt you, but they wronged you by doing something. Well, it's hard to forgive. It's easy to say, yeah, I can forgive, but it's another thing to really and truly forgive. Now, aren't you thankful God forgives us and He doesn't remember it anymore when He forgives us? That's harder for us to do, but we can work on that. Paul chose to rejoice anyway, even though he was in chains, he was in prison, and there were others out there preaching, and you know, even some of the jailers came to know Christ under Paul's preaching while he's in jail. Can you imagine being in chains, being in jail, and you're still preaching? Well, sometimes that may be harder for us to imagine or to think about. But when we face affliction, try to respond with affection, with love. Do you give affection to your sisters, your brothers that have caused you harm and pain? Sometimes even the physical brothers and sisters can be at war with each other. I am blessed. I am so blessed that I have one brother and I have one sister. They're both older than me, and we have never fought with each other. We've never done that. I think part of that comes from the fact that my parents taught us that we are to love. Now, that doesn't mean we always agree on everything, but we've never fought with each other. And we have a love for each other. You know, even sometimes in disagreements. My sister and I, we disagree with my brother a lot. He's got a great wife that's very supportive, but she's got a sister that's very domineering and wants to tell my brother what he's going to do, and they're not married. I mean, it's weird. You know, it's like okay, his name's Paul. I said, Paul, you got two wives. You're legally married to one, but the other one's telling you what to do, and she's not your wife. And so we disagree on that, but we still love one another. Has anyone hurt you in your family? Sometimes that happens. What about a friend? You know, I've had a best friend at one time who literally stabbed me in the back, not physically with a knife, but he stabbed me in the back. He cut me down and he accused me of something that, and you know, I had to forgive him. That was not easy to do. And I had to tell him, I forgive you for what you did. Forgive those who've wronged you. Sometimes it's hard, but Paul's encouraging us to forgive one another. Will you forgive those who don't want to be forgiven? Well, I look at it this way. If you forgive someone who doesn't want to be forgiven, you've done your part. Now it's their problem. You know, if they don't want to forgive you, if they don't want to accept your forgiveness, that's their problem. It's not yours. You did what God has asked us to do, to be forgiving. You know, it's interesting that we can hold grudges towards someone and not let it go. It's like, you know, it's just like sandpaper. If you take sandpaper and you rub it on your hand, it's going to hurt. Don't matter if it's even fine grit or if it's coarse grit, like 100 grit, it's going to hurt and it may even draw blood. Well, let's not be sandpaper to somebody else. Let's have a forgiveness heart. Those who don't know that they need forgiveness. How do you forgive someone who doesn't realize they even need forgiveness? Well, you just still forgive in your heart and again, let that problem be on them. Thinking about something here that a number of years ago, it was a little Indian girl in India. I led her to Christ. She went home, told her parents that she became a Christian and her father sold her into prostitution. She was 9 years old, 9 or 10 years old. And that hurt so bad. And I began to cry and I talked to God and he said, you did what I told you to do. I'll take care of the dad. But you know, I had to forgive that dad. And I never even met the dad. But in my heart, I had to forgive him. Even though he didn't ask for it, he didn't deserve it, I had to forgive the dad for what he did to his daughter. Forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself. Someone can't force it out of you. You have to give it yourself. I've been hurt. You've been hurt. You have to simply forgive. We need discernment. We need understanding. Sometimes we need to talk to the other person. Maybe not about everything. What about those who can't be forgiven? Say they've died. Well, you can still forgive that person, even if they're gone. I mean, you can't go to them. There's no way you can go to them. Maybe they've moved to another location. You don't know where they are. Maybe they've actually gone AOL. You don't know where they are. But you can still, in your heart, you can still forgive. And, you know, maybe God will put your past back together if they're still alive. Those who won't accept your forgiveness. Again, it's not your problem. It's their problem. Not determined to be by their acceptance, but what you do in your heart. One time, a number of years ago, in Columbus, Georgia, there was an event where I was there. They were asking for people to go out during a certain time, going out, knocking on doors, and talking to people, seeing if they were involved in church or whatever. And I knocked on this one guy's door. And he literally opened the door and cussed me out. I mean, he raked me over the coals, cussed me up one side, down the other. And I said, okay, fine, I'll leave. You know, and I walk out in the street. He follows me out in the street. And he said, you know, you just, you just knocking on my door and you just want to talk about this Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. And you know, and he just tried to, and I turned to him and I said, that's okay, I forgive you. And he was speechless. He didn't know what to say. He kept looking at me like, what? What? You're forgiving me? What? I mean, he finally just turned and walked away because he didn't know what to say. Well, there happened to be the very next house, and I did not know this at the time, but when I knocked on the door, it was a U.S. House of Representatives lived there. Did not know that to begin with, but I knew who he was when I saw his face. And he said, I saw what happened out there. He said, you know what? I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. He said, I want to commend you for what you did. Because I was watching. He said, I heard what you said to him. And it was just amazing, you know, how others were watching that I was willing to forgive this guy who literally cussed me out. Does your life need forgiveness yourself? Maybe you need to forgive yourself of something. Maybe you need to ask God, is there something I need to forgive myself of? You know, every time we come for communion together, we should have a time of thinking about our own life and saying, Lord, is there something I need to confess? Is there something I need to ask for forgiveness from you? Well, the third thing that Paul points out here is to choose daily to live for Jesus. Verses 9 and 11, 9 through 11, it says, and this I pray that your love may abound still more in more knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. So, we need to glorify God and praise God and live for Jesus. I've said many times, I'll say it again, we are not just Christians when we walk through that door. We're Christians when we walk out that door and we go to our homes and we go to our schools and we go to our work. We're Christians all the time. And our love for Jesus ought to abound forth in our hearts and in our life. It's an ongoing process, growing process, a lifelong process. When you become a Christian, you don't just simply say, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Okay, fine, I don't even have to do anything anymore. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be involved. I don't have to live for Christ. I'm a Christian. We've got to live for Christ. It's got to abound in us that others will see that within us. It's not a checklist that we check off each day. Well, today I've lived for Christ. It's a decision that I'm going to live and love Christ each and every day. There's two markers that Paul mentions here. The sincerity of faith in verse 10. What does sincere mean? It means to no impurities. Means that it's pure. It's not unmixed. It's the root form from sunlight. We know that sunlight helps plants to grow. Without sunlight, plants won't grow. Without sunlight, we get physically sick ourselves without sunlight. Well, without offense would be another explanation to that. Blameless, no hidden offense in us. If the sunlight shines deep within you, it needs to be real, where others will see that sunlight within your hearts. There's the fruits of righteousness Paul talked about there in verse 11. In Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He names those off, and you're familiar with those. If we live for Jesus, it's going to show. It's going to show. I go back to that example of that black preacher in the Walmart parking lot. I could see in him that he was sincere. He could see in me that I was sincere. And I made this comment in Sunday school. He said, you know, the problem, a problem that I see today is many people say, I'm a Christian, but they don't know the gospel. And the gospel being what Jesus Christ came to earth to do, that he died for our sins and he rose again and he can live evermore. That's the gospel in a nutshell right there. Now, we got to have an inward and an outward marker. If we live for Jesus, it's going to show. It's not private. It's not that we keep it in private. And we would think that, well, you know, there's people in other countries, in communist countries, that when they become a Christian, they have what's called closet Christianity. And in some cases, that's true, that they may have to kind of keep it secret. In China, a teenage girl was talking to me one day, and she was a Christian, and she was just openly talking about Christ. And she was just a young teenage girl, and I said, aren't you afraid that you might get arrested? She said, my Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I think I can go to jail if I have to. Teenagers in America don't do that, that's for sure. They would not say that. But, you know, all of us should be open about our Christian life and our faith. Being a Christian is more than just going to church. It's more than just reading your Bible. It's more than just honoring God in our finances. It's more than just volunteering to serve where needed. It is something that we planted whenever we became a Christian, and we continue to grow just like a tree that starts off as a little seed and grows and it grows and grows, and years later it's a mighty tree like the trees that surround us. Mighty trees. So, are you going to make some choices this next year? Are you going to make choices in your life as you live for Christ? The new year is stretched out in front of us. We can start today, and in the end of 2026, we can look and say, this is where I've come from. This is where I am today because of where I started earlier in the year, and I've worked to this point. Daily choices are defining our choices for tomorrow. Choose to be thankful. Choose to forgive. Choose to live and love Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, it's my prayer that no one in this room would leave this place today not knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I feel pretty certain everybody does. But Lord, help us to make those choices that we're going to be thankful, we're going to forgive, we're going to live and love Jesus this year. And others will see that. And they'll see us as we grow, and they'll say, well, I want that. Maybe we can have the opportunity to tell them how they can achieve that. But Lord, as we make these choices, you guide us and direct us, because where you lead us to it, you're going to lead us through it, as Paul said. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.